Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Mackenzie Shirilla says she has no memory of the crash. She said it in the hospital, said it at the trial, says it now, speaking from prison in the Netflix documentary, The Crash. The family say she's a calculated killer. A fellow inmate says the remorseful woman in the documentary isn't the person that she saw behind bars. Everyone in this case is telling themselves a version of truth that helps them survive. And it's understandable. This part is about separating what people believe from what the evidence actually shows. Here's something that didn't necessarily surprise me, but we do this every single day, so we have more reps, I think, in it's watching this type of behavior, is the shock that everyone seemed to have that after the fact, she was still a self-centered little bitch. Yeah. Immediately after, there was some that was talking about some sort of brand deal. I mean, mom came through with, oh, she'd really love that. And she might be suffering more than other people, or whatever the hell she said in that message publicly. That right there tells you a ton about the world in which Mackenzie Shirilla grew up around. And that line of thinking, that mom is stupid enough to say something like that publicly and be that tone deaf to everybody else around her. I mean, that's just, okay, well, there you go. That's mom. And then the fact that Mackenzie would be interested in this, might still be thinking very self-centeredly. Why would that suddenly change after a crash unless there's massive brain damage? She's still the same person she was after the crash. Of course she is. That doesn't change immediately because of that. Hopefully some reflection, hopefully some taking some time tempers it down and changes that. But everyone being shocked that she's the same narcissistic, you know, 16, 17 year old monster that she was beforehand, is still the same one after, doesn't surprise me. Does it you? I mean, that actually proves more consistency to her argument that this wasn't calculated or planned, because she's still the same damn person. She's not suddenly somebody different.
Yeah, and actually, into what one of the viewers said too, is that, you know, if it was a jury trial, she would have been found, you know, 100%, you know, of murder. Yeah, I agree, because of all these other things, and that's probably why they chose bench trial, not that. I'm just curious about the charges themselves. You know, it could have actually fit, I think, the whatchamacallit, manslaughter as well, because of that intent. But also going back to the earlier question you had, Todd, was how many number of prison infractions. She's received 36 prison conduct reports so far and found guilty of 32.
I'm not surprised by any of that, you know?
Six counts involving contraband, altered clothing, Monopoly, money, paint bottles, magazine pictures, nude magazine pictures. Four counts disobeying a direct order, four counts violating institutional rules, regulations. So, she's a train wreck. There's no denying that she's a horrendous human being, and it just keeps coming down to the, I don't say curiosity. It's righteous. I mean, she does 15 years. That's at least righteous, if not even more. You're right. Zero remorse there. There's such an opportunity here for all the things we're talking about, that we can see the broken person that made horrendous choices that killed two people.
Yeah.
And the problem is, for her, if at any point along the way, the people around her were giving her grace until you saw what happened before. And then what happens is, when you see those thousands upon thousands of text messages, like everyone's commenting on, then you're like, oh my God, you're a horrendous person. Then what you're actually doing is you're looking for that glimmer of what changed in you. Did you learn something from this? Are you remorseful about this? Because we're here to give you grace. keep you accountable, but in other words, to be willing to move through this if you can actually show and demonstrate that you're a human being.
Yeah.
She never did.
Well, she hasn't yet. But also, I want to say, keep in mind, this isn't that long since this actually happened either. And she's 17 when she went in. So play biology in here, too. Her brain also not fully developed, not going to suddenly change overnight. You add all this trauma in there. Yeah. It's probably more stigmatized than it ever has been. I'm not trying to give excuses to this girl because I do think she's a very monstrous human being and needs to be straightened out in some way, shape, or form, if that's even possible. And I don't know that it is. Some brains are just so broken and so disfigured internally, if you will, that the way of thinking is the personality disorder, and it drives them for the rest of their lives until they die, however they kick it. That could very easily be going on here too, but I just think it's important to understand what the hell is actually happening here, not so much to save Mackenzie Shirilla, but so people can recognize this shit in people who haven't done something this horrendous or stupid yet, and maybe help steer them a little a different direction, especially if you're a parent and you see a child going through things like this. People are describing that behind bars, we just talked about all the infractions. I know somebody mentioned a lot of them are very sexual infractions as well, having to do with her looks and her. Of course they are, because before she went into this, she was obsessed with how she looked and how everyone, you know, this is how she walked around. With her fish lips out in her camera and her eating disorder on full display. This is still who she is behind bars. She actually looks a little healthier now, quite honestly, behind bars. But it's not going to change. This is the only way she knows self-worth. This is the only way she knows validation is through her looks and through her sexuality. Somehow that needs to change if she wants to be a healthy adult. Will that change? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so.
She's still pretty young. I mean, she's early 20s. I mean,
so what's going to have to happen is a bigger aha. I mean, that's why
a bigger aha. Yeah. I don't know.
Which how do you get bigger than that? So here's why this, I think she's doubled down on this aspect of her personality and the thing she's doing behind bars, because she's lost the only thing that was working before: fear. Who's she going to threaten? Prison.
Yeah.
What tool does she have to do that?
Yeah, I mean,
and
she's
so
a chameleon.
If you got nothing left there, you're left with the only other thing you had, which was a side that everyone got sick of. So if she keeps getting response to it, you know, I see a very, I mean, if you're one of the victims' families in this, I think you at least know that she's not living a healthy life. I think she's going to be taken advantage of very significantly behind bars, because people are going to see her, what she's doing to try to have this persona behind. People are going to take advantage of that. Probably I have taken advantage of that. And she's going to be, I think she's going to be a tool of someone else's, or already is.
I like the comment, Mackenzie should get a restraining order against her mother. I agree. I think that's, you know, that's probably the only thing that's feeding her. So the odds of that happening are not there. But if she wants to grow as a human being, we always talk about having
loving
critics. Yes, she has enabler, basically a unregulated enabler, basically is what you have in mom there. Not a loving critic. If mom loves her, if dad loves her, and when I say love, I mean truly wanting the best for the person, not just what's going to make mom feel good about her existence or dad feel good about his existence or the decisions they made raising her and continuing to back her up as this victim who's in prison, who made a bad choice and that was misunderstood. That's not going to help her get any better. It's this shell of a human being that was wandering around your house that then you said at 17, oh yeah, go ahead, go live with your boyfriend. What could possibly go wrong? It's that sort of shitty parenting that continues on even with her behind bars. And the second she can get broken from that sort of enabling, I think is going to be the second that her life starts to change. But I don't think that's going to happen until they're dead. And unfortunately, that's probably a long ways down the road and plenty of time for Mackenzie to F up her life far more than she already has.
Her mom reminds me of Jesse Butler's mom. Yes. Same type of thing. Padding on the back, poor thing, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm chuckling because I think her only saving grace is if she gets herself a good prison wife who can straighten her out.
Honest to God. Yes.
That's what happens. I've watched a lot of those videos, man. There's some tough wives in there she can team up
with. Sometimes I feel like that might be the only way. I don't know. And I could see that being, you know, she's going to have something dramatically happen and the enabling needs to stop. And it does not help her that there is basically a Mackenzie Shirilla fan club out there that's like, oh, you shouldn't be in here. No, you should. 15 years sounds fair. Was the charging off? Yes, it should have probably been more manslaughter, but you're not a victim. You've created victims. And now you have all these people who are trying to, it seems, tell themselves a version of the story that fits their narrative best to help them deal with whatever the hell you are. Everybody's trying to figure it out. And why nobody can? Because she herself doesn't know who the hell she is.
And so I want to, let's go back to that for 1 second. I actually looked up, because I know we are not even arguing anything. You know, we're just kind of been talking about a bit the difference between a murder charge versus a manslaughter charge. And I actually, I plugged it in and did research on the statute for it. I wish I could. I have so many notes on this case. I can't pull it up in front of me. If she had been convicted of voluntary manslaughter instead of murder, I have that one. But there is actually, if you even remove intent of murder, of taking lives, she still could have been and convicted of and charged with murder, not manslaughter. So murder would actually still, it actually, and that's why whether the intent was there or not, the charge can still stand as is. And so they didn't, so even if the prosecutor is listening to Tony and Robin and saying, you know, guys, you know, in hindsight, you make a lot of sense. I don't see the intent of murder there. It was just, you know, narcissistic, stupid person controlling people. And she killed them all by being stupid and self-centered. I'm still charging with murder. It actually fits.
Yeah. One more thing in here, and this is, and I'm in no way trying to disparage anybody or the victims' families, because everybody's grieving their own ways and they need to try and make this fit. One of the lines that really struck me a bit was needing the truth so they can grieve properly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person needing that's not the truth. That's someone wanting their own version of it confirmed. Mm-hmm. That what they accept of what she did to be fact. And she says, I don't remember any of it. Basically, the argument is, you're lying. You need to tell us you remember what happened and you did this on purpose. And if she doesn't do that, nobody can grieve properly. You're never going to get that. And you don't need that to grieve properly. You don't. That's something that is going to need to be found internally. You're not going to find it in an outside source from a personality disordered narcissist monster child. You're just not going to. And even if you were to get it, what does it matter? Because she contradicts herself left and right anyhow. That's not going to get you there. And I get it. Yeah.
They just want to see her in pain. I mean, that's what a lot of people are looking for to be able to move through things, is they want, you know, part of, you want justice, and in a lot of people's minds, justice is you feeling pain. You won't even come close to feeling what I feel, the loss I have. I want you to suffer. I want to hear that you're suffering. I don't want to just know it that I see how much you're suffering. I want you to understand you are suffering.
And if I was that parent, I would too.
Yes. That's what they want to see.
Without a doubt. But is that the best path to healing? No. I don't think that's going to get them there. And it's hard, you know, I've never been in a situation like that. So it's hard to say, you know, I get it. But I guess my thought process in all of this of like wanting these families to find their healing and some way forward, they're never going to fully heal when you lose a kid, but something, I think, people need to stop looking at her for the answers. She's not going to give you the answers.
Yeah, because, I mean, part of what we want for justice is we want the person to feel like they're being punished.
Yeah.
And when she doesn't have the behavior and displaying it for the rest of us to see that she feels like she's being punished for what she did, again, there's no accountability then. I mean, it sounds like she's living a great life behind bars because she's just taking advantage of another system. She's breaking all the rules, getting away with it as always, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you, the only way you start getting justice from this point is that they keep a great tally of all the rules she's broken. And then that confident, if she's still the same person in 15 years when she goes up for parole, all think I'm going to get out. And it's like, no, because of blah, 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 you're staying another 15 years. And that's watching the shock on that face would be really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's getting away with it again.
I agree. I mean, that's all you can do is keep tallying it up and then just keep exposing her to her downfalls. And again, people like this, expecting them to change is a losing battle. You are going to waste your time and your life doing it. They are chameleons. They are in survival mode at almost all times, no matter what, even when it's not called for. That's what puts them into these sort of situations to begin with, where everything is life and death. Everything is all or nothing. That's where the borderline comes in a lot. Yeah. And that's their way of thinking. She's still thinking that way. So when it comes time to be emotional and reflect and think about this, she can be emotional and reflect and think about this. When it comes time to being tough and being the badass in prison, and I'm going to break the rules and look at me, look at my body, look how sexy I am, look at this, look at that, she's going to be that person. When it comes time to mooch off of mom and get attention and money and shit that she shouldn't be doing, she's going to become that person. She will adjust herself for whatever situation best fits her in that moment. That is what this type of personality does. That is what this type of personality is.
Yep.
Everyone needs to stop being shocked that this is what it is. People need to understand this type of personality and the monstrous ways that they emote and that they act. It exists. It's what they are. It's less confusing when you just kind of accept, yeah, there's these types of people that contradict themselves left and right. They're out there every day. Most of them don't end up killing. They just have a tornado of torture for everyone that they encounter.
Tornado of torture. I love that. Yes.
I mean, they
she
really
a
are.
Tornado of torture. No
doubt. And she will continue to be. And a lot of them never get fixed, no matter how much tornadoes and torture they inflict on everyone else. They're still the frickin' chameleon at the end of the day.
Well, because in order to get fixed, you have to think you need to be fixed, for one
that's
thing.
That's exactly. And 1,000%. That is a huge reason why...
Yeah.
Most therapists don't want to deal with borderlines.
Because she thinks she's got it all going on, man.
They won't, and they don't think they need to be fixed, or they won't go into therapy to get the fixing that needs to be done, and they self-serve it, and they use it all basically as a way to self-aggrandize themselves and make it all about them again. So it's a vicious cycle with this type of personality. There's very little fixing it. And I think that just might be the answer.
Out of all the behaviors we see... from all these things, you know, no guardrails, enabling, no problem-solving skills. Yeah. The other one too. What do we see in every single case like this? The victim mentality. They are wound collectors.
Yep.
It's unjust towards me. I got it all right. Yep. Never owning their own behavior.
1,000%. I think that's what you got here in Mackenzie Shirilla. On Wednesday, Siobhan Scott's going to be on, and we're going to be discussing it with a psychotherapist, getting her perspective and breaking it down even deeper. So be sure to join us for that. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Get Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever books are sold. Again, an autographed copy. Send it to her, Robin. I think that would be a helpful one for Mackenzie Shirilla.
The anti-narcissist book.
Can you imagine if we started sending it to all these people that we have these... And then 20 years from now, you get these letters from all these like murders. You changed my life.
I actually found out where she's staying. I thought about sending her one.
Send
I'm not
her.
Kidding you. You know, because we've reached out to a few people before. I'm thinking of seeing what we might be able to do to have another response, man.
It'd be interesting. It would be interesting. Again, your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue the conversation right there. Until next time, for Robin and Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk
from
again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.